It's time for the Pet Track Report on WEOL. It's brought to you by Jamelis Wilson Maryland Fritz Company, attorneys at law, and Royal Business Equipment. Talking to Scott Petrak today. A day late, took him a while to get back from the West Coast after Sunday's game against the Seahawks. Browns losing 24-20. All right, Scott, you've had some time to think about it. What's your thoughts on that third down play that everybody's been going over and over and over?
Yeah, it's a tough one. You know, obviously it looks like the wrong call afterward. I understand why Kevin Stefanski called a pass there, because it's hard to pick up third and three running the ball. You know, I think the stats prove it out that over time it's not easy to do. I think the Seahawks were probably expecting a run and were doing all these good to stop that. So you might be able to catch him with the throw. Having said that, the issue is P.J. Walker's your quarterback. And, you know, he opened the season as a third stringer. He's thrown several interceptions to this point. I don't think he's played terribly overall, but he's turned the ball over. So you know you're putting the game in his hands with that throw, where you could run it, punt it, and hope your defense holds them without a field goal. So I get the criticism. I also understand why Stefanski did it, but I think that was the mistake is, you know, you got to trust your quarterback, and I think you might have trusted P.J. Walker too much.
Yeah, but then when that happens, even at that point, don't we trust our defense? Talk a little bit about how, I guess, they were maybe having a little difficulty, or at least on that last drive, that able to give up those amount of yardage.
Yeah, well, certainly, and I think that's an argument for calling a pass there is, you know, so the Seahawks took over at their 43-yard line. They needed a field goal of time to wind up getting the touchdown to win. But, you know, let's say you don't pick it up running the ball, the first down, and you punt, and they get the ball at the 20. Well, okay, that's only 23 more yards, and the Seahawks moved down pretty easily. They had two timeouts. I don't even think they used one on that last drive. So, you know, you would think you should be able to trust your defense in either case. If you happen to turn it over there, and I'm sure Kevin Stefanski's not thinking turnover when he calls a pass. He's thinking incomplete, and then worst thing happens, and it's tipped up in the air, you know, deflected off the helmet, intercepted. You're okay, well, my defense can get a stop. The defense has played great since a minute left in the first quarter, and then it didn't. It didn't come up big when it needed to at the end. That's been a bit of an issue. It was an issue against the 49ers a couple weeks ago. They got lucky with the missed field goal that would have wound up being a loss instead of a win there. So I do think the defense, which entered the weekend ranked number one in yardage, it needs to be better in the biggest moments. And even if that comes after a turnover, like the best defenses don't let the adversity drag them down, and the Browns were not able to rise to the occasion.
Let's talk about the defense. We sort of lost that turnover battle, though. We had interesting tip to himself, Hurst, defensive lineman, getting the interception. Yet you have a wide open Cameron Mitchell missing that pick six. So you never know when you're going to get those turnovers, and you expect them to come in one place, and they don't. They come in the other.
Yeah, and you know it is good that the defense has started to get those takeaways, and that was missing, I don't know, the first four or five games of this year. And then they turned over the Colts a bunch last week. They got a couple off Geno Smith yesterday. Myles Garrett had forced a fumble late in that game yesterday, but Smith was able to fumble and the ball just kind of fell right underneath him, so he was able to recover it. So that's a good sign. But, yeah, I mean, first of all, Maurice Hurst, the second, talk about a good free agent move that's been under the radar. You know, he's signed to be a backup, and that's what he's doing, but he's had a big impact, not just yesterday with the pick, but in general. And then yesterday, you know, he drops in coverage, gets a hand on the ball, tips it, and then catches it, and he's a big dude. So that was a good play. And then, yeah, you mentioned the Cameron Mitchell one. You know, the rookie was in because Greg Newsom was out with a groin injury, and Mitchell makes a great read on the ball. Geno Smith makes a bad throw, bad decision. And he's got nothing but green turf in front of him, and he drops it. If he catches that, takes it for the pick six, you know, you would assume the Browns go on to win the game. So it winds up being a huge missed opportunity.
Yeah, well, there's always those little, you know, we look at that one play at the end related to after the 2 minutes, you know, at the end there, but there's a lot of stuff going along the way. You mentioned Myles Garrett. There was a stat on there, whatever, he hadn't had a tackle or some sort of thing. He was involved in the game, but there wasn't a lot of stats developing for him early on in
yeah.
that game.
Yeah, early on, you didn't hear much of him. You know, and I asked him about that after the game, and it felt to me, and he echoed it, that he was just, they were giving him a lot of attention. They were doing a lot of stuff to make sure he didn't wreck the game like he did the week before, whether that's, you know, rolling Geno Smith away from him, whether it's, you know, blocking with the tight end in addition to the tackle. They just did a lot of stuff to say, hey, Myles Garrett's not going to take over this game like he did against the Colts. Yet, having said that, he still winds up with a sack, still winds up with a forced fumble, and affected, I thought, Geno Smith a good chunk of the game. So, you know, I don't know if we talked about it last week or not, but, you know, I think the expectations for Miles are so through the roof that if he doesn't have a dominant game with three sacks, everybody's up in arms. And yesterday, you know, obviously wasn't dominant, but I thought he still had a huge impact on the game, despite the Seahawks trying to minimize that as much as possible.
Right. Well, they always say defense is, or the offense is always planning for him, so there is an impact beginning on Monday when they work up the schemes for the game. Let's talk about the game coming up against the Arizona Cardinals. What kind of storyline could develop out of this game, huh?
Well, yeah, I think we're going to start and probably finish at the quarterback discussion. You know, for the Cardinals, their coach, Jonathan Gannon, first-year coach, San Ignatius grad, announced yesterday after the loss to Baltimore that Joshua Dobbs will remain starter quarterback. And that was a question because Kyler Murray, who started the season on PUP, physically unable to perform this, is still there, and they're not ready to bring him off. So Dobbs is going to get another start. Obviously, we know Dobbs was here last year. He was here this offseason, in preseason, until they traded him to Arizona. Been a lot of discussion about that because, you know, they could use him, you know, with DTR and P.J. Walker struggling to some degree, turning the ball over. You would think that Dobbs would have given him a better chances at number two quarterback to Watson. And then we don't know if Watson, Deshaun Watson will play, right? It's still too early in a week to know. You know, he's missed all but 12 snaps of the last four games. I don't know when he's coming back. They obviously could use him. You know, they're playing well enough. You know, and obviously they won the last two games without him, but they're playing well enough. It feels like if they just get a clean performance from the quarterback, they're going to win a bunch of games. But without Watson in there, you wonder if, you know, their quarterback can give them that clean game, which brings into question the trade deadline, which is Tuesday at 4 o'clock. See if the Browns do anything there.
Any idea what they might be doing? I mean, there's obviously anything's possible. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, to me, it's about three positions. And the one is quarterback. And, you know, Jacoby Brissett, I don't know if Washington would be willing to move him. I don't know. You know, I feel like if the Browns think Deshaun Watson's going to come back this week or next week, they're not going to go trade for Jacoby Brissett, right? They're not going to give up, let's say, a fourth-round draft pick to get a guy that's probably going to sit on the bench most of this season. You know, now you could argue whether it's worth doing for insurance purposes, and maybe that sways the Browns. But to me, he's the option at quarterback, and it's certainly worth exploring. Receiver, you know, they've not gotten a ton of production out of Donovan Peoples-Jones. Elijah Moore has had some, but not probably is what they hoped. Could they make a move at receiver? I think that's interesting. Andrew Berry might blame some of that on the fact that the quarterback play hasn't been that good, so how can you judge the receivers? And then running back, you know, they've been a little banged up. Jerome Ford played through it yesterday. I thought they got good performances from all three guys, Ford, Hunt, and Pierre Strong Jr. But without Nick Chubb, that's always a spot where you look and go, okay, could they get another guy? So, you know, I think Andrew Berry is going to try to be aggressive, but that doesn't mean he's able to pull off a move.
Sounds like you're drafting a fantasy team, getting a quarterback, getting a receiver, getting a running back, right?
Well, I mean, you're right. And the reason for that is the defense feels like it's solid, right? And, you know, knock on wood, from a Browns perspective, they haven't really had any big injuries on defense. And I don't know how long Greg Newsome, if at all, will miss with this groin injury. But they're pretty healthy on that side of the ball. The concerns are really on the other side. It's all about the offense, and I would say mostly about the passing game on offense.
And the schedules right now, we got this game with the Cardinals, and then we got the two from the Ravens and the Steelers. We're all packed in there. So this month of November is going to really be determined a lot, I think, for us.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you know, obviously you won't know everything at the end of this 3-week stretch, but you'll have a good idea, okay, are the Browns poised to really make a run at the playoffs? Are they still in position to make a run at that AFC North title? You know, if they come out of there with, you know, beat Arizona and split with those two teams, I think they'll, you know, two division rivals, I think they'll be right in the middle of things.
All right, Scott, thanks for your time. We'll talk again next week. Appreciate it.
Sounds good.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.